to his own and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, you're good to us far beyond what we deserve. Just the fact that you heard our prayer, that one day when each of us ask you to save us from our sins, trusting Christ and his sacrifice on the cross and turning to you for salvation, you heard that prayer. If that's the only prayer you ever heard, we would be blessed beyond measure. But Lord, you've made a promise here that some people might not understand, some people might question it, some people might even doubt it. We don't doubt your promises, but then as we look around at the way things happen, sometimes we don't understand. I pray today you'd give us understanding. I pray today that each one here would know what the Bible has for them. The Bible says to them today, the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God, set me aside and use the Bible, I pray. And I ask that at the end of this service that your will would be done during the invitation as well. I pray for folks that are not with us today. Please care for them, bring them back to us safely. And for those that are ill, I pray you'd care for them. Some of them are here today, some could not be. I pray you'd raise them up. We pray for folks that just need for you to intervene in their life, that you'd do that as well. But now, Lord, please give us this next few moments that we can just focus on the Word of God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You probably have had a moment or two in your life to where you thought someone was talking to you and you answered them and it turned out they weren't talking to you at all. That's embarrassing. And maybe they're looking at someone behind you and you thought they were talking to you and you responded and you realize, oh, I just made a fool of myself. They were talking to that person next to me or whatever. I think we have to ask ourselves the question here in John chapter 16 and verse 23, who's the Lord talking to? Now, we know the story, obviously, is very clear that the disciples are together. It's what we call the Last Supper, and they're about to go into the garden. The Lord's going to pray in chapter 17, then they'll go into the garden, and he's going to be arrested. These are the very last things he says directly to them before he takes them to the garden to pray. And there's a promise in verse 23. And I'll begin by saying it this way. I sure hope that applies to me. You would say the same thing. You sure hope it applies to you. Amen? What does he say? Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Somebody's prayers are going to be answered. He did not say that without purpose. And so many of us may ask the question, is he talking to me? Does that apply to me? I don't want to focus on this too much, but ask yourself, what kind of people was he meeting with when he made that promise? We won't go back and look at the passages, but it's a wonderful story if you look at the calling of the disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ came to John, for example, and Peter, and these fellows were fishing. And they were engaged in their work. They had the nets, they had the boat, they had everything they needed. They had caught fish. And Jesus said, come follow me. And they literally left their livelihood and the materials that they needed to make a living and just follow Jesus. That takes faith, doesn't it? Can God take care of folks like that? Sure can. These are some men that for 3.5 years, almost to the day, but about 3.5 years, they have been traveling with Jesus. They've seen him do miracles. They've seen him accepted by some, rejected by most. They know the Pharisees would like to kill him, but they stayed with him. we would say in our vernacular, through thick and thin, when things were good and when things weren't good, they stayed with him. Peter at one point in time says, where can we go? You have the words of life. These are men. We don't have detailed stories about each one of them, but we have some stories about people like Peter, who on the day of Pentecost preached and saw thousands of people come to Christ. We have stories of people that weren't here, like Paul, that also saw great results. But just sticking to these 12 men, Judas is in that group at this time, I believe. I don't think he's departed yet, but I can't recall. But anyway, speaking to these disciples, these are men that after the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he met with them and they went on to do great things for him. Their life was about Christ. Now, let me speak very plainly, and that is simply this. If you're going to receive this promise in verse 23, I think we need to also accept the conditions for our life that come with that promise. If you're living your life for yourself, if the Lord Jesus Christ is just something that's casually mentioned once a week or whatever, and you come to church and praise God, thank you for coming to church, but if you're living your life for yourself and your purpose in life doesn't have to do with Christ and your dedication is elsewhere, I don't think this promise is going to be as applicable to you as it would be to a true disciple. Amen? And I want to be a true disciple. Faithful. Sacrificial if necessary. Dedicated to the cause of Christ. So these men, they'd followed him. They had given up everything for him. They had been taught by him for 3.5 years, and now he's about to leave them. And this last very important promise is given to them in verse 23. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. What are the privileges of a life lived for God? They're given right here in this passage. I know that a lot of people, sadly, Christians even, they never really learn how to center their life on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a good way, if you want to draw closer to Christ, a good way to start, read your Bible every day. Amen? Say, how much, Pastor? One man said it really well. He said, read it until you see something that speaks to you. That might just be one verse sometimes, amen? But if you want to get closer to God and live a life that's centered around Christ, then hear from him every day. And then the very next thing you obviously would say is you need to pray. Look at what he says to these men, and just 5 quick privileges of that disciple's life, that life that is lived for God, that focuses on God, that depends upon God. That life has a lot of privileges. I know some of us here are in the military. How many of you are or have been in the military before? If you'd raise your hand, quite a few. I remember when I was in the military, there were some really good benefits. Some of us here have been in long enough that you got, you know, the VA for medical care. And some of us here may have retirement. And I was in the military. They'd feed us and they'd clothe us and they'd house us and they would give us all the equipment we needed and they would train us. And there were lots of benefits for being in the military. You didn't get those unless you were in the military. You don't get these benefits unless you're in God's army and you're living for Christ. We won't take long, but let me show them to you. There's 5 really obvious ones. The first one we've already discussed in verse 23, one last time. God promises to answer our prayers. I love Pastor Stephen Harris. He's a missionary. You need to pray for him. Mexico is a very dangerous place right now. He is in Magdalena, and I told the folks on Wednesday night, I think it was maybe last Sunday, frequently now his church members from an hour south of the border in Magdalena to come to him and tell him stories not about hearing, but about seeing violence, seeing people shot or seeing people attacked or whatever. It's a very dangerous place. Why would a fellow go down there and expose himself and his family, including his daughter, to that kind of danger? Because he loves the Lord. And sometimes we think we have it hard, and it's not pleasant when someone is unkind to us when we go door to door. No one has shot at me yet, brother. Anybody here been shot at? Not because of that, maybe. Steve Harris preached a message in our missions conference a couple of years ago. I still remember it really well. It was just one of those messages you can't forget. And he said, Did you think to ask God when you got in trouble, when you didn't know what to do, when you lost your job, when someone betrayed you, when suffering and persecution came, when you had a need, did you think to ask God? Amen? Amen. Answered prayer. And I want to remind you of something, and we've talked about this in Sunday school. It would be my delight if everyone in this room decided to live their life and have the Lord Jesus Christ in first place, and if your decisions were based on what He would want, and if you found His will, and if you listened to Him and heard His voice and obeyed it, that would be a pastor's dream. And we'd realize that some people aren't there yet. Not that you couldn't get there, but that you're not there yet. But anyway, even if you're not that perfect Christian, I want you to know the Lord still loves you. Amen? Even if you haven't arrived, even if you struggle with some sin, even if there are things in your life that aren't what they ought to be, God still loves you. Amen. And He's working on you. And He's trying to bring it. I love that verse in Romans. We talk about predestination. Let me quote you a verse. The Bible says we are predestined, and that means God's going to do it. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. If you're saved, you're going to be more and more like Jesus. God's going to make it happen. The Bible says that He which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until Christ comes back. So once you got saved and the Holy Spirit came into your life, praise God, He's working on you. We are a work in progress. God loves you. You haven't got to be perfect to have your prayers answered. But the way, let me say it differently, the place that you give Christ in your life is going to impact the place that you get when you pray. Look at this verse down here in verse 27. That really kind of nails it down. He says, the Father Himself, verse 27, loveth you because ye have loved Me and have believed that I came out from God. The Father loveth you because you've loved Me, Jesus says, and you believe I came out from God. We talk about this, the deity of Christ, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and the Word was God, John 1:1. And we talk about the fact that Jesus is the Lord. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah. And the Bible says, Jesus says, I'm the great shepherd, and the Lord is the King, and Jesus is the King. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ came from the Father, and I can't explain the Trinity in 30 seconds to you, but I will tell you this. Jesus said to the disciples, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. That's good enough for Me. If you don't believe in that Jesus, that's going to change everything. But we know who Jesus is. The Bible makes it clear. But I'm just going to ask this question. Do you love Him? Amen? What does He say in verse 27? Because ye have loved Me. There's a love that comes from the Father based on the love we have for Christ. And there's nothing wrong with asking God to make that love deeper and stronger and more vibrant than it was the day before. But you know, the more you walk with Him, the more you're going to love Him. The more, I was reading in the Bible yesterday, I believe it was, and it talks about how God is able to make grace abound to us. We don't depend on circumstances, we depend on God. It's God that lifts up and casts down. It's God that makes wealthy and makes poor. And we saw this morning in Sunday school a wonderful, one of my favorite passages, stories in the Bible about Joseph and how before Joseph could be in the palace, he had to be in the pit. And then he had to serve Potiphar. And then he had to go to prison. But he had a dream, and that dream was a revelation from God that one day his brothers and his parents would bow down before him And folks, when God said it, that settles it. It happened. And it didn't look like it was going to happen. And in your life and my life, it may not look like, but God takes care of things like that. No, we have a promise of answered prayer. Now, there's another one here that you may question, but let's look at it a little bit more closely in verse 24. He says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." I think about a time when I really have a lot of joy. Don't you like Christmas when the family's all together? Isn't that a joyful time? Or Thanksgiving? Or our family's been trying to, they're scattered all over the country now. I've got family in Maryland, and I've got family in Wyoming, Montana. I've got family here, and we're trying to all get together next year, and it's kind of hard to do. It's a blessing to be together with family on a holiday and just all sit down and enjoy each other's company and relax, and there's a lot of joy in that. But there's joy in salvation, isn't there? Pastor stands up. We've had some good ones here. A man came here one time and preached about hell, and he preached about hell very effectively. Hell's as bad as it, you can't imagine how bad it is. And he described some things I had never even seen before in the Bible of how bad hell is. Just the fact of an eternal flame and having to be in that flame's enough to convince me. But there's even more horrible things than that. But the whole time he's preaching about hell, I'm sitting here thinking, sure glad I'm saved. Sure glad I'm saved. Sure glad I'm saved. I hope you're saved. I get joy of thinking about what's coming. When the Lord comes back, no more suffering, no more sadness, no more sin, no more temptation. Hey, I want you to know, if you live in the flesh, and we all do, you wrestle with sin. The Bible says in Galatians, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so you cannot do the thing that you would. But one day, Jesus is going to make us perfect, not just in position, but in reality. There's joy to be had. But let me tell you what joy you could have if you would, and that is pray and have God answer your prayer. We were 20 years ago, 25 years ago maybe, brought some teenagers down from Salt Lake City down to Bullhead City, Arizona, Laughlin, that area over there. And we would go out and we'd invite people out to church, and then they would have an evangelistic meeting, and we would usually get there on Friday afternoon and have church Friday night, church Saturday night, church Sunday morning, and church Sunday night. And then we'd spend all of our free time putting door hangers out and knocking doors, inviting folks out to church. And we had seen the day before this family, and I don't know why, I just kind of became attached to them. It was a lady and some children, and it just really seemed like the Lord could really help them if they'd let him. And they promised us they'd come to church. So Sunday morning came, and I was standing in the back of the auditorium. It was pretty full. And praying, Lord, please bring those folks in. Please bring those folks in. And the service began, and the songs began. They weren't there yet. And if you ever do this, I think it's okay. You ever get frustrated? Lord, I'm asking, please bring these folks in. The service is starting. Please bring these folks in. And guess what? They walked through the door. Just tell you, that gave me some joy. Amen? There's folks here, many of you, you've let me know what to pray about, and I pray for it. And when God answers those prayers, that gives me joy. But Mr. Mendez does the same thing. He prays, and God gives him joy. When's the last time? I'm not trying to chasten you at all. I'll just say it this way. Ask, the Lord says, that your joy may be full. Because he's going to answer. Amen? Undoubtedly, answered prayer is a promise. Joy is a promise. I like this next one in verse 26. He says, "At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you." Now, up until that point, and what's going to happen in the next chapter, especially as the Lord Jesus Christ prays for them. And folks, I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for you personally on your behalf every day of your life. The Bible says we have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate is an attorney. And when you sin, you've heard this 100 times, but 101 won't hurt you. When you sin, the Lord Jesus Christ represents you. The devil says, look what that sick, that sinner, that Christian did. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I already paid for that. Amen. That sin is paid for. And it was charged to my account on the cross, and that person is not guilty. That's representation. But in prayer, there's a representation as well. Now, we won't turn there, but in Romans, the Bible says that when we pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. Because we really don't know what to ask, but He does. And oh, by the way, we'll see, the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, and the Comforter is the Lord Jesus Christ, said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And so when you pray, the Lord Jesus Christ represents you before the Father. I like this last one. I'm just going to show you one more and we'll be done. Look at go down to verse 31. He says to them, do you now believe? Why did he ask that question? They believed. Why would he ask that question? Oh, you're going to miss the best part if you leave now. Here's why he asked that question. He knows what's about to happen. And he tells them what's going to happen, that they're going to be scattered. Now, what does that mean? He says in verse 32, he says, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. They came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they all fell backwards on the ground. The soldiers did. One man, God, declared his name, and all the forces fell backwards. And I'd love to see the video of this in heaven or whatever God's got up there to show us. But I can see these guys getting up and they're picking themselves off the ground and putting their armor back together and getting their spear and standing back up straight and trying to look dignified again. And he asked them again, whom seek ye? And I can't help but think they were hoping. I hope he doesn't give us the same answer he just gave us. And we have to fall down again. And he said, I'm he. And he said, let these go their way. And the disciples took off. Why did that happen? Jesus promised none of them would be lost. And he did what was necessary to protect them. And even though they scattered, he brought them back together later, didn't he? He knew what was about to happen. But he also knew what was about to happen after that. And folks, that's the trouble that we have in our lives. We're in the middle of the story, and here we are sitting in the middle of the story, and we're saying to ourselves, all is lost. You haven't seen the end of the story yet, have you, Joseph? But I'm in the pit. But I'm in prison. You're about to be in the palace. So here we go at the end of this, and I'm done. Look at verse 32. He says, you shall be scattered, every man to his own. Ye shall leave me alone. He said, yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. And we'll talk about that later, but this is a really sad thought there. But anyway, verse 33, he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In me ye might have peace. They do an exercise in the army, and what they do is they take you out to this bunker. And this thing, it is reinforced. It's got concrete walls, and it's got dirt around it. And they put you in this bunker, and then they shoot things at you. Machine guns, artillery. And they're pretty good at it. They don't hit the bunker, but they get pretty near it. And you know, in that bunker, you're thinking, I'm sure glad I'm in this bunker. Because in there, you're safe. I told you my story. I got to shoot a tank one time. Anybody ever heard a tank shoot? It is astoundingly loud. And if they shot a tank, over there across the road, you'd think a bomb exploded. And so I'm inside this tank, and they said, you get to shoot the tank. I get to pull the trigger. You get to aim it, and you get to shoot it one time. And so I aimed it right where I wanted it to be, the little crosshairs in the telescope, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm dreading this because I know good and well this is going to be so loud in here I won't be able to stand it. And I pulled the trigger, and it went thump. Because inside the tank, it's nice and safe. It's peaceful in there. Wouldn't want to be at the other end of that. Now, that's just two silly illustrations, but let me ask you this question. Do you feel safe in the Lord Jesus Christ? There are entire books in the New Testament about being in Christ. A great study of the preposition in and what it means. But if you're saved, you're in Christ. And I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ is better protection than the best bunker men ever built. The Lord Jesus Christ is best protection any psychologist can ever contrive or any doctor could ever come to or anybody could ever, any protection you can think of, Christ is better than that. Folks, you and I ought to be at peace. So, Pastor, I'm not a perfect Christian. Just forget that word perfect and just say, I am a Christian. Amen? I am in Christ. I can tell you this, the devil can take every ounce of force he's got and direct it right straight at you, and if you're in Christ, you're perfectly safe. Amen. Nothing can get to you. Read the book of Job. Satan couldn't scratch, touch, do anything to Job, his family, his possessions, nothing until God allowed it. And yes, sometimes God allows things to come into our life. Go back to Sunday school, you'll learn why. But because we talked about that today. But the Lord Jesus Christ can give us and will give us peace. I'll just say it this way. If you're tired of worrying, stop. Doesn't do any good anyway. If you get worried about something, I think that's just God's way of telling you that's what you need to pray about. But folks, here we go. Let me zero this all in and we're done. If you are a disciple, if you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't say perfectly. Some of these fellows here are far from perfect. But if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love Him, if your life is based upon Him and you are saved and you're walking with Him, He's going to answer your prayer. He's going to give you joy. He's going to represent you. The love of the Father is going to be seen. And you're going to have access to peace. Somebody said, well, Pastor, what if such and such happens tomorrow? Ask the wrong question. The right question would be this. Christ will allow whatever happens tomorrow. And if He doesn't allow it, it ain't going to happen. Every good story in the Bible, every good story in the Bible starts with somebody in trouble. The Israelites on the shore, the Red Sea with the Egyptians chasing them. The Hebrew children standing before the fiery furnace with the soldiers about to cast them in. Jonah inside a whale. Noah facing a 40-day flood. Every good story in the Bible starts with somebody in trouble. And every good story in the Bible ends with God delivering them. And the greatest deliverance was when Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And the Bible says we are risen with Him. In Him. Those are the benefits of serving God. So you're going to read John 16, 23 someday, and you're going to say, well, wait a minute. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. I wonder if He's talking to me. And I'll conclude with this idea. He wants to be talking to you. Are you listening to Him? Are you walking with Him? Are you living for Him? Are you trusting Him? Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I did. Well, I know what David did. I know what Moses did. They killed somebody. I know what Peter did. He denied Christ 3 times. Wait a minute, David? Yeah, same one that killed the giant. God didn't forsake him. Moses, yep, same one that killed the Egyptian. God didn't forsake him. Peter, yep, same one that denied Christ. God used him greatly. It's up to us, folks. Amen? It's just plain old Bible. Is he talking to me? I think the real question ought to be, are you listening to him? Amen? Let's all stand and pray.